Well, hello there. This is Chris Brown. Before we get started, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home soon, I suggest you get help from a trusted real estate agent through our endorsed local providers, also known as our ELPs. They have the heart of a teacher to help you through every step. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to connect with someone in your area.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm so excited about today's show. My name is Chris Brown, and I'm privileged to be your host. And today, we are taking your calls at 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And every once in a while, I have to ask myself the question, why are we having this show? It's just a good reminder. We got to remember the why. And it's not, you don't have to look around very long until you see an article like I saw on, looks like NBC News here. The headline says, most Americans lack reserve cash to cover a $500 emergency. Where would you fall in that survey? Do you lack the reserve cash for a $500 emergency? This Bankrate found that 63% of Americans don't have enough saved to cover a $500 financial setback. And you might be thinking, well, it's just because they're not making enough money. Well, this research goes further and says just half of higher income respondents, defined as $75,000 or more in annual earnings, said that they have enough cash to handle such an emergency. So only half, right? So it's not a salary thing. Goes on to say about a quarter of respondents said that they would cut back their spending in the event of such an emergency. And 15% would be able to borrow money from a family member or a friend. Another 15% said they would use a credit card to pay for the emergency. This is our plan, folks. Ouch. It goes on further to say that only 57% made it through the year without contending with any kind of financial emergency. So over half experienced an emergency in any given year. Unexpected expenses come up with such frequency that they really shouldn't be unexpected, says Steiner in this article. 4 in 10 people said that they or an immediate family member had experienced a major unplanned expense in the past 12 months. So that means we need to be ready for those occasions. And that's just one little bit of an article that points to why we have this show. Goes on also on this same article to talk about some good news. You want to hear some good news about our millennial generation? Those of you who are listening in, here's some good news about your generation. Doesn't happen very often, right? But I'm here to give you some good news. Bankrate.com found that adults under 30 are really stepping up their game. More than 6 in 10 said they were saving at least 5% of their income, up 20 percentage points from last year. Nearly 3 in 10 said that they were saving more than 10% of their income, bringing them nearly on par with the number of people across all age brackets saving more than 10% of their income. So way to go to you all. And I used to say that I was one of you, and it kind of hurts to refer to you guys as you all. I'm not in that group anymore. At least I'm not saying you little whippersnappers. I'm not there yet. Well, whether you're a millennial or not, whether you have the appropriate amount of savings or not, this show is for you, and so are our endorsed local providers. If you are planning on buying or selling a home this year, then you need to connect with these top producing professionals that are right there in your area, and these folks have a heart of a teacher, and they can help make sure you get the best deal on your home. So make sure you head over to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP. Well, again, we're taking your calls. The number is 866-357-3283, and this first call comes in from Colorado Springs. This is Jason. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Chris. How you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So, Chris, I've taken a new role in the last year as a lead pastor here in Colorado Springs, and because of that, I'm about to do my tax preparation and one of the things that I'm looking into is applying for exemption from having to pay into Medicare and Social Security under the minister's ability to be able to do that. And my question is, I'm actually planning to do that. I'm leaning towards that. But I'm wondering if the 14 years that I've been paying into Medicare and Social Security, do I forego any ability when I retire to actually be able to benefit from those monies that I've put into that for the last 14 years?
Yeah, the way that exemption works is it's only for ministry-related salaries. So even if you were bivocational right now, it would only apply to your ministry duties. And so that even includes, you know, if you were to go out and speak for another church, or you were to get an honorarium for a wedding or for a funeral, all of that would apply as well. So it's really for that only. And let's say if you were to take a second job working at a home improvement store or something like that, it would not apply to that. And so, yes, you would be able to still apply, be able to reap the benefits from those 14 years.
Okay, perfect. So I'm now doing this full time. So I don't, you know, I don't plan to be paying in anymore because I'm doing full time ministry. But I didn't want to lose the opportunity to take advantage of the 14 plus years of paying into that. So
of course, of course. And it's good that you asked.
Terrific.
I mean, because it's a, you know, it's a, that would be not very good stewardship at all. I do want to encourage you to talk with a tax professional as well, because these rules and laws are always changing. So I'm obviously not a CPA. And I'd also encourage you to pick up a copy, and this is for all of you listening in who maybe qualify for this exemption, to pick up a copy of Publication 517 from the IRS to make sure you get the most updated things. But yeah, it's, I personally was exempt for years, and now I'm back to not being exempt again because I'm not in a local church nonprofit role.
Yeah, okay, terrific.
All righty.
Well, I appreciate your help today. Yeah, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right, thank you. This next call comes in from North Carolina. This is Lisa. Lisa, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
Thank you for taking my call today. I just have a quick question. I have a mortgage and I have a car, and now I have about $100,000 saving in the bank. I just wonder what is the best way to invest that $100,000.
Wow, very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So what's your income?
Gross is about $140,000.
Okay. And how much are these two debts of yours? How much is the car?
The car, I think I have about $11,000 left.
Okay, and the house?
The house, about $325,000, $330,000.
Do you have any other other accounts or anything?
Yes, I have 401k.
Okay, how much is in the 401k?
It's about $95,000.
And how young are you?
I'm 44.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got good news for you. You've got definitely have a place for that $100,000. We want to make sure that we keep 3 to 6 months of that savings right where it's at. It's in a money market account, I'm assuming?
Yes, it's just regular checking.
You want to keep 3 to 6 months of your expenses in there and don't touch that, mm-hmm. Okay? And you're going to want to make sure you pay off your debt, that $11,000 in consumer debt. So get that gone. Those are the two things that you're going to do immediately. Okay. Now, after that, at 44, you're maybe a tad behind on your investing. So you know, what we teach in Baby Step 4, are you familiar with the Baby Steps in Financial Peace University?
Sort of.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk you through this real fast, but I'm going to give it to you for free.
Okay.
And so when we hang up in just a minute, Amanda will get your address and we'll send it to you, okay?
Great.
But so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to walk you through baby steps. And so we're going to make sure we get rid of that $11,000 in car debt, and then we're going to put 3 to 6 months in savings. And then what we want to do is baby step 4, because there's 7 baby steps in Financial Peace University, is to put 15% of your household income away to retirement each year. And so I would encourage you with that, whatever's remaining there, Let's just say it's 50,000, you're going to put 15% in for last year and put 15% in for this year. And so, and unless you've been doing 15%, you said you had 95,000 invested. Was that invested a long time ago, or have you started that recently?
I start recently. I am putting 15% every year.
Good, good. Well, then, you know, for me, it's up to you on which one's more valuable, to pay off the mortgage or to put more into your investments. For me personally, I think I would catch up on your investments. You're a little behind at 44, and I'd want to put that extra 50,000 in some investments.
Okay.
One thing to consider is right now, here we are, and the market is pretty close to the 52-week high. So the timing, we never know what's going to happen. When you're thinking long-term anyway, you're at 44 and we're thinking all the way to 94, maybe 104. It shouldn't really matter. Something to consider, maybe it's holding off 3 months. I don't know. You don't know what the market's going to do. 0 and 3, 35 on your home, that might be more important to you. But the key is that you've got all the savings in there, you've got rid of consumer debt, you're doing the 15% a year. Now, whether you do baby step 4 or baby step 6, paying off that primary is up to you. You kind of do those all at the same time.
Okay.
All righty? So it's whether the mortgage or the investing is up to you.
Okay.
And stay on the line, and Amanda is going to get your address, and we're going to send you Financial Peace University.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, there's a couple calls right in a row there. We're talking about tax exemption. We're talking about savings, investing. We're talking about, paying off debt. Why is all that important? Why is this all important? We're not talking about just finances here, folks. It's deeper than that. We're talking about spiritual stuff here. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, those who have been entrusted to be managers, like Jason, like Lisa, like me, like you, well, we must prove faithful. And what does that mean? That means to handle our finances, which really aren't ours. They're God's way and for his glory. And so that's why the exemption's important. If that's an exemption that is allowed by the government, we should take that, because Social Security, is not a very good return on your money. And we're managing God's money. So if we can get a better return on it, then let's do that. And this $100,000, if that is, for Lisa, if it's put away the wrong way, then she's not going to fully leverage it. And of course, we see in Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30, about how, Jesus looked upon a good steward versus a bad steward. And so I'm so thankful that she, called in and asked that question. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. And that's what Lisa's done. Nobody's told her she had to save $100,000. No one's overseer or ruler on top of her saying, hey, you need to make sure that you do this. She just did it. And, we can really take a page out of Lisa's book, and she's obviously spent less than she's made for a long time, and, well, it's paid off. I think about me in middle school and high school, and I think about all the money that I wasted, how much money I would have if, of course, I did some good things in middle school and high school, too, with money, giving money to my mom and those kind of things growing up, but, man, would I have a lot more money if I was just like the aunt and stored my provisions in the summer and gathered food in the harvest. Got an email here from Nancy. Says, is it wise to prepay a funeral or buy life insurance or just save up the money for the event? Well, no to the prepay. We don't want to prepay funerals. It's pre-plan, not prepay. Big difference. Okay, pre-plan, not prepay. If you invest the money that you would do in the prepaying, rather than doing that, you would come out ahead. And if you're really young and you're writing this in, Nancy, and this is especially true, you think about $10,000. Let's say you're going to prepay $10,000. Then think about what $10,000 would do. Let's just say you're 30 years old and what that would do over the next, 40, 50, 60 years. So we want to make sure that we're not prepaying, we're pre-planning. And when it comes to the life insurance, we recommend 10 to 12 times your income in term life insurance. for anyone who's relying on your income in the event that you can no longer produce that income, you know, due to death. So you want to make sure you have that in place. If there isn't anybody relying on your income, then maybe it's a small $25,000 policy for burial, and that might just be fine. So make sure you check out our insurance ELPs in your area. We got them listed there at stewardship.com, and they can help you out with all of that. Well, speaking of our ELPs, you know, I don't know if you're buying or selling a house, you know, this spring, but it's one of the biggest financial decisions that you'll make in your entire life. You know, for most of us, this is the biggest purchase we'll ever make. But how do you find a top agent or a top broker that you can trust to get the best deal on your home? Well, our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. Now, each year, they sell 40 homes, which is almost five times more than the average real estate agent. And our surveys show that their customer service is outstanding as well. That is possible. You can be a top producing agent and have good customer service. Imagine that. Actually, they're closely related most of the time. You can get connected with one of our top-notch real estate agents that are right there in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call comes in from Lexington, Kentucky. This is Sarah. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom of a three-year-old and a 10-month-old. Recently found out that, surprise, we were pregnant with number three due in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So my husband and I have a combined income of about $80,000, and we have approximately $13,000 in credit card debt right now at a 0% interest rate until March of 2017. 2 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with antepartum depression, which I've not experienced before. And as a means of treatment, in order to avoid medication, my provider has suggested that I bring someone into our house and help with the children, go to therapy, and join a gym, which is all going to cost quite a bit of money for us. We were doing really good paying our debt off before, and my husband has decided that we need to stop paying on our debt because of this. And he has said that he is comfortable paying the extra $3,000 in interest and any additional interest that will accrue after March. And I'm not very comfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, as a godly wife, as a steward of what God's given to us, I feel like we need to pay the debt off. But I'm kind of in a sticky situation where, you know, I appreciate him wanting to think about me, but at the same time, I feel like we need to be aggressive with our debt, and I really just don't know what to do.
Yeah. What's his age?
31. I'm sorry, 31.
So you're pretty convinced that it's because of this.
What, the depression?
Yeah. There's nothing behind it?
Well, I personally, I've never had depression in my life. So I think it's hormonal based. You know, we had a surprise pregnancy, which I am excited about. But we also have this debt that I've never had debt before. And I'm very uncomfortable with it. We took out the loan because we had black mold in our house and we had to do a bathroom remodel. We had to move out. So we took out a credit card at 0%. And, you know, we've put a lot of money on it based on that. Mm. And I feel like that is, you know, partially contributing to the stress that I have is that we have stopped paying on it, essentially over like the last month. And I don't really want to have debt when we have our third baby because, and I can see how he's trying to be a good husband and, you know, father.
Yeah. Are you willing to work?
No, I do work. I work on call at the hospital. I work nights and weekends. And it just depends on what they need as far as coverage goes. I'm willing to work. I won't be able to work once we have the baby, but this is all based on my income as well. I take home roughly $20,000 to $25,000 a year, depending on how much I work.
I thought you started the call with I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, I am. I am a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, so
I stay at home. I stay at home during the day, and then when my husband gets home from work, I go to work.
All right.
Or I work on weekends.
All right. Let me answer this from the standpoint of what would work in my household. If I were doing this, I just know the times where my wife feels like I'm being a bonehead. And I worded that the way I worded it because I don't know if he's actually being a he's actually being a bonehead. He might just be being very caring. But when my wife feels like I'm being a bonehead, she's the most potent when she's sweet. So let me contextualize this for you. So if you were to say, you know, I don't expect you to do extra sacrifice for this. I know that you take a lot of pride in being the, you know, primary breadwinner for our family. And I don't want you to have to, you know, take on any more. I know you work really, really hard, but this is really important to me. And I don't really expect you to change anything on your side, but it's that important to me, even with me battling this depression. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to pick up an extra shift. I'm going to see what I can do on my end. When Holly does that to me, that is 10 times more effective than if she were to get mad at me, if she were to, rip my head off, or if she were to make me try to feel guilty. When she just says, you know what, it's okay, I totally get it. And when she's sweet, it's kind of like Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Because it doesn't seem to me like he's lost focus. It doesn't seem to me like it's he just is off the plan and has changed his mindset and he wants to go play golf or go on vacation. It's out of love for you. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be, hey, listen, I totally get it. And this is that important to me and I'm just going to make it happen on my end. And if he's a husband like anything like most of our husbands that are listening in right now, he's not going to stand for that. He's going to go, no, don't do that. And I don't think you're manipulating him. I think you really will go do it. I think it's that important to you.
I will.
But he will. I've got a feeling he's going to step up because obviously he's a good husband and a good father, and he's proven that over time. And this is important to you. I got a feeling he's going to step up when you do that. Now, another option is to bribe him to start watching maybe the first lesson of Financial Peace University or something, to sit down and maybe, you know, get a kind of redigest what debt does in a family and that you guys want to avoid that at all costs. So I can totally send that to you if you want it.
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay, all right. Well, stay on the line, and Amanda is going to get your address, and we'll send you that first lesson of Financial Peace University. And that's one that'll really kind of – it'll kind of hit him pretty hard, and he'll realize his responsibility.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. All right, folks. Got an email here from Paul. He says, Chris, I have only been listening to a few months. You often talk about saving and investing safely and earning 12%. I have not seen 12%. So where can I safely earn 12%? Good question, Paul. Morningstar.com is a great resource for you to research these funds. It's a great website. Remember, what you're looking for, though, you're looking for long-term returns, not just this year returns. You're not going to find anything good this year, trust me. But long-term returns over 10 years plus. You're looking for funds with a long track record. The longer, the better. But of course, there has not been any huge returns, if any, last year or this year, any return period. We're still stabilizing from a great, I don't know if you remember, 2013, over 30% increase that year. We're talking about long-term returns. And yes, 12%, you guys hear me loud and clear. And I don't want to get into the minutia on this because who cares whether it's 10 or 12. There's a lot of things that we need to be doing besides bickering over 10 versus 12. However, hear me loud and clear, 12% long-term is possible. But Paul, I really, really appreciate that email. So today we got to talk all about many aspects of stewarding our finances and our relationships. When it comes to stewarding God's money, you not only need spiritual and conceptual direction, but you also need some specific instruction for your situation. So whether it's taxes or insurance, real estate, investing, You want to get all your investing questions answered by one of our ELPs by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP. Folks, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless you.